Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us here in January, you know that we are in a two-month series right now, eight parts. And the portrait of God we're focusing on is this. He is our new life. He is our new life, and He wants to transform us into new creations and does so much more, and that's the journey that we're on. And I trust that you'll be taking notes, and I want to take you to section five now. Actually, we've had four broadcasts, and so this is the fifth. And number 10 and 11 of our list of 20, though there may be more as we go along. But if you have your Bibles, let me just invite you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God, markpg.org. And on that landing page, you'll see several boxes. One has archived articles I've written, another one some videos I've done, three-minute devotional videos on the portraits of God. And then you'll have another one with printed guides on all kinds of topics, two of which I'll be covering today in our study. And then you have the broadcast box. Click on the broadcast box. Then on the next page, click on Portraits of God, and there you'll have the archived list of all of these 27-minute radio messages. And so that's at markpg.org. Jot that down so you can catch up if you've missed some, or just listen to them again or share them with others. Well, as is our custom, as we get ready to hear the Lord, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm so grateful for the opportunity You've given me all these years just to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet. And we get to gaze in Your eyes and listen for Your heart as You want to touch our hearts. And Lord, as we're discovering how You are indeed our new life and all the different ways You just infuse that new life in us, some immediately and then somewhat progressively, Lord, I just am enjoying this journey so much so that we can all appreciate all You do for us as our new life. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord, and we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, just to set the table for us so you can hear what we're getting ready to talk about in context. Our first broadcast, we covered the first two of 20 ways the Lord, our new life, infuses His new life in us. And number one is that He transforms us into new creations. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2, if anyone's in Christ, they are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then the second thing we looked at in that first broadcast was how He resurrects our dead spirits. Ephesians 2, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings or sin, He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him. Oh, I love that. Second broadcast, we covered two more. Number three, He matures our struggling souls, and He gifts us with eternal bodies. And so we saw that, how it's unfolding, some of it progressively, and some of it immediately, and some of it when we go home to glory. That's when we get our eternal bodies. Third broadcast, we talk about how the Lord, our new life, makes us children of God and receives us as brides of Christ. And those two metaphors in Romans 8 and Ephesians 5 are fascinating, so we had a wonderful time there. Last time we covered 3, 7, 8, and 9, that the Lord, our new life, justifies us immediately, He sanctifies us progressively, and He forgives us completely. And oh, those were great journeys into the scriptures in Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 6, and Colossians 1. And so now we come to number 10 and 11 in this fifth of eight broadcasts on this topic of how He is our new life. Today we're going to talk about how He heals us creatively and He frees us from bondage. Do Do you know that in becoming new creations in Christ, the Lord is in the process of sanctifying us progressively, as we saw last time, but to make it more specific, He's healing us creatively? Because have you discovered that you have more areas where you need healing than you think? Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, where it says that He Himself brought our sins in His body up on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by His wounds, or other translations, His stripes, by His wounds or stripes, you were healed. Now, there are those brothers and sisters in some segments of Christianity that would focus on the physical healing with this passage. And all I'm going to share with you that actually the Lord heals us creatively, not just in body, but as we've been saying, in body, soul, and spirit. The Lord is working about transforming our body, soul, and spirit. And we saw how we have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's justification. That's been immediate. We are being saved from the power of sin. That's where He sanctifies us progressively, where we're still dealing with some sin habits, but He wants to progressively heal us from that. And we also have wounds and baggage that the Lord wants to creatively heal. And then we also have some emotional wounds and baggage that He wants to progressively heal, sometimes instantly heal. I mean, He heals creatively. He heals us creatively, my friends. So let's just not get locked into that there's one way that He does it, or here's the formula, or here's the magic prayer, or here's the magic anointing oil, or here's the magic laying on of hands, or, you know, all that. Those things are important in that there are different ways to seek the Lord regarding healing. And I'm not diminishing any of them. I'm only saying don't get focused on one or two of them as the magic formula, so to speak, the way He does it. The Lord does it a lot of different ways. Oh, He is our new life. He's transformed us into a new creation, and that we are now one with Him. We are now, when we get saved, part human, but we have His spirit that's within us, and His union with us gives us a divine aspect of our being. And through it all, as we're still on this earth, until we get to glory. Now, when we get to glory, or Jesus comes again, we're going to get brand new bodies. We saw that earlier in number four. But as far as our souls, which is the mind, will, and the emotions, oh, my friend, we're in progress of having those things transformed, because we need so much healing, which is why we're saying number 10, He heals us creatively. But we also have areas in which we're still living in bondage when we're actually set free. We just don't realize it and don't receive it. So that's what we're going to talk about today, how He heals us creatively and how He frees us from bondage progressively while we're still on this earth, but ultimately, once we physically die and go to heaven, or when Jesus comes again to take us into Himself. So isn't that cool? I just love that. Okay, so let's dial in here to number 10, how He heals us creatively. Now, several months ago, I actually did a series called He is Our Creative Healer. That's the portrait of God we covered. We spent several weeks on that. We looked at 20 biblical reasons why the Lord allows physical infirmity, and it's so that we can experience His healing and be drawn more and more unto Himself, to be comforted, to be molded, to be healed, to be intimate with Him. So let me just kind of give you a brief overview of how He is our creative healer, because we are works in progress, progressive sanctification we talked about. While we are saved, and it is a done deal in one sense, we're justified immediately, we're sanctified progressively in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. So here's how He, our new life, also is our creative healer, and the 20 biblical reasons why He allows physical infirmity. Number one is to gift us with priority healing. to gift us with priority healing. When we see this clause in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed, well, is he going to heal us physically or emotionally or mentally or in what way? Well, all the above. But think triage. He's more important about healing us in spirit, making our dead spirit alive. But then he's also concerned about progressively healing our mind, will, and emotions as we live our life in him on this earth. So he has a priority of how he likes to heal, and sometimes he's focusing on the spiritual side of things or the emotional side of things before he'll get to the physical things. So understand that he will do it in his priority. It's kind of like triage. When EMS people show up at the scene of a horrible accident, they're looking at all the people that are injured, and they're assessing who is most in danger of losing their lives from these injuries, and they're given top priority. So the Lord has a kind of a triage approach in how he heals us. Number two, our creative healer, in giving us new life, he gifts us with timely healing. God has his own timetable in how he does things, and we just need to trust him in that. Number three, he gifts us with ultimate healing. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. So if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. What I love about this is there's two kinds of deliverance. One is he'll deliver us from this furnace of fire. We won't be touched. It'll be a miracle. But even if he doesn't do it that way, and his deliverance is to have us die and go home to glory to be with him, that's a win as well. So that's what we mean by ultimate healing. Sometimes there comes a day when it's going to be ultimate healing, but that's God's prerogative. We're all going to go home one day, just a matter of how. Okay, so he gifts us with priority healing. He gifts us with timely healing. He gifts us with ultimate healing. He also gifts us with shareable comfort. When he heals us, he wants us to comfort others with which the comfort he has given us. That's 2 Corinthians 1. Then he also gifts us with prevailing grace. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul was wanting his thorn in the flesh, a physical thing, removed. God said, no, and stop asking. My grace is sufficient. I'm healing you in another way. That is, I'm giving you a stronger spirit and soul, mind, will, and emotions to continue on and trust me and love me and share me, even though you haven't been physically healed. Can you do that? That's a powerful testimony right there. So sometimes he gives us prevailing grace instead of choosing to heal us physically. He also reminds, he allows these physical infirmities and this progressive healing. Number six, to remind us of our temporary bodies. These bodies are decaying according to 2 Corinthians 4, and yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. Number seven, he also prompts us towards nutritional lifestyles. When we get sick, it's a way that he can prompt us toward more nutritional lifestyles, to be good stewards of our body. And Daniel 1 has a story of Daniel and friends refusing to eat the king's choice food, and says, rather test your servants, let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink, and let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and then just deal with your servants according to what you see. I love that. He also, number eight, he creates our creative healer. He allows physical infirmity to reveal and heal broken hearts. Now, this is where we get into the whole thing about him wanting to deliver us from the baggage of wounded spirits or broken spirits. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit drives up the bones. And the Lord wants to heal us from that. Number nine, he wants to reveal and heal wayward hearts, like the prodigal son who took off. He came back, but then it exposed that the older brother had a very bitter heart, and God had to reveal it so he could heal it. Also, he heals, wants to reveal and heal unforgiven bitterness. Unforgiven bitterness. We're going to talk more about this in a bit. And he also wants to, number 11, reveal and heal stressful anxiety. And number 12, he wants to reveal and heal self-sufficient pride. Number 13, he wants to reveal and heal fragile faith. And number 14, he wants to reveal and heal quenched confession. Boy, when we just have buried things that we have done, hiding sin, boy, it comes out in physical ways sometimes. And he wants to reveal and heal those quenched confessions. He wants to reveal and heal willful disobedience. He wants to reveal and heal rebellious ways. He wants to reveal and heal generational impacts. Boy, we saw a lot about that in that series. You can check it out at markpg.org. He is our creative healer. Number 18, he wants to reveal and heal our toxic soul ties. That's a fascinating journey. Number 19, to reveal and deliver us from satanic or demonic buffeting. And that's a whole series in and of itself. And then number 20, he wants to glorify himself with all kinds of healings. So, basically, in this brief overview, the Lord is our creative healer. He heals us creatively. It's part of his infusing his new life in us to progressively heal us in mind, in will, in emotion, and in body. But to kind of focus in more on the mind and the will and the emotions, let me take you to number 11 in what we're talking about today. We've said that the Lord, our new life, heals us creatively. But number 11, part of that new life he's given us is that he frees us from bondage. He frees us from bondage. And we're not even always aware of how much in bondage we may be in certain areas of our life. So, 2 Timothy 2:25-26 puts it this way. May God grant them repentance, that means a change of mind, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Well, that's a fascinating passage, isn't it? It's in the context of a wonderful exhortation from the Lord to those of us that are bondservants of Christ and how to encourage each other and point each other up to the Lord. Where he says earlier in 2 Timothy, beginning of in chapter 2, verse 24, he says, now the servant of the Lord, or bond servant of the Lord, that's one who's opted to be a servant to his gracious master, the bond servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those that are in opposition. And then that's when it says, so that God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses. Now, that's a great phrase, by the way. Why? We're kind of out of our minds sometimes. We get so disoriented, so confused. There's so many blind spots that we have to come to our senses. And the enemy uses those blind spots and those wounds deep inside of us to keep us in a snare. See, and the scriptures here are saying we want to escape from that snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. The enemy is the deceiver. He's the distorter. He wants to constantly try to disorient us and confuse us in our walk with the Lord. He wants to convince us that we're no longer butterflies transformed into new creations, right? We talked about the metaphor. We're butterflies now. We're not caterpillars anymore crawling around in the dirt. We're butterflies that are designed to fly and enjoy the flowers and the meadows and the openness of the Lord. But we get bound up. The enemy tends to whisper in our ear and says, you're not really saved. You're not really a good Christian. You don't know what's going on here. You know, and he'll just continually fire his fiery darts at our hearts to keep us in bondage, to keep us ensnared in a lifestyle of bondage, when the reality is we are actually set free. We just have to receive it and not buy the lies of the enemy that we're still in bondage. Now, I trust you can grab that conceptually, how the enemy, when we get saved, has lost the war. We're God's now. We're going to go to heaven. But man, if he can attack us as believers and confuse us as believers and hold us in bondage and strongholds as believers so that we will not be effective witnesses of Christ and that we will not live joyful lives and be a negative testimony, therefore, of our Christianity. He's trying to do that desperately. Even though he's lost us to heaven, he wants to neutralize us as a faithful and effective witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does he do that? And how is our struggle continuing even though we are saved? Well, as we talked about before, we are new creations in Christ, but we have all these leftover cesspools of sin patterns. Now, the analogy that we used back then was fire hydrants. You know, we had, when we were lost, unsaved, we were like a fire hydrant that's spewing out sewer water and sin and you know, envy and strife and lust and all those things. And it creates these cesspools all around us where the water's been spewing. But when we get saved, now the scripture says old things have passed away. That fire hydrant spewing out that stuff is dead and gone. And we are new creations in Christ. Now we have a new fire hydrant, and it's designed to spew out rivers of living water in the Lord, to cleanse our souls and to be able to share the good, clean waters of the gospel with those around us. And in a perfect world, it would be happening instantaneously. But no, we have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being sanctified progressively, and as we're saying, we're needing to be healed of some areas in our life and being freed from some areas of bondage in our life. So let me show you what that looks like. In fact, this tool you can also find on my website. When you go to the printable guides, you can find that list about how he is our creative healer and the 20 biblical reasons why he allows physical infirmity. Just go to the website, click the printable guides section, and then when you get there, just scroll down to the Heritage Hour section and look for He is Our Creative Healer, and you'll have that one. To get this one that I'm about to go over, you go again on the main markpg.org, click on Printable Guides, scroll down to the Family Pastors section, and look for seven things that blind and bind. Though we're saved, there are still seven things that blind and bind us that the enemy tries to take advantage of and keep us in bondage, but the Lord wants to free us from that bondage. So here are the seven things that blind and bind our hearts. Seven hidden things that blind and bind our hearts. Number one is wounded, broken hearts. In this world, we will have tribulation. We're going to get hurt. We're going to be neglected. We're going to feel rejection and betrayal and stuff. And when we get wounded, broken hearts, it can be transformed into bitterness and unforgiveness, and that binds us up, and the Lord wants to heal us from that. A second thing would be reflexive defense mechanisms. When we're so brokenhearted and dealing with stuff on the inside, all this below the surface is happening, and another thing that happens is that we have reflexive defense mechanisms like denial or distortion or projection or rationalization or repression or Phariseeism or withdrawal or sarcasm, intellectualization, compensation, all kinds of things. Again, it's on the handout. But my friends, that'll bind us up, and it won't allow us to receive God's emotional, spiritual healing that he wants for us in our lives. A third way we continue that process of under the surface bondage is that we come up with personal coping strategies. We have this wounded, broken heart, we have reflexive defense mechanisms, then we have personal coping strategies like isolationism, perfectionism, romanticism, materialism, asceticism. Then we become workaholics or funaholics or fightaholics or flight, running away from things, aholics or peopleholics. We want to just cling to others to feel more accepted. We have to have that approval, you know, kind of an approval addiction type of thing, which we'll get to in a moment. But this is another hidden thing that's going on. Then to cover it up, we have this public role playing. And then on the surface, we kind of take on a persona as best we can to cover up all this brokenness that we have below the surface. We become the overachiever, or the cool dude, or the cheerleader type, or the good old boy, or the perfect parent, or the providing husband, or the humble servant. You know, we put on all these role playing. Now, those are good things, but we want it to come from the inside out, not the outside in, like a performance. Now, when you're doing all of that, it can turn, then we get bound up by soothing but binding addictions. The enemy kind of has us in his grip, and then we get addicted to alcohol or drugs or sex or smoking or medications or pornography or anorexia or bulimia or cutting, all these kinds of things that are just, we can't deal with all that internal unhealed pressure. And we're in bondage, and so to soothe ourselves, we do these kinds of things. It can be other kinds of addictions, like a flirting addiction, spending addiction, leisure addiction, approval addiction, winning, got to win at all costs addiction, you know, and or success, that's it. And yet the Lord wants more for us. Then we have the cognitive biases in place, and then we have logical fallacies in place in which we try to rationalize all these things mentally. Well, the Lord wants to heal you from all these things. He wants to free you up from bondage from all these things, and He does. That's the great news of how He is wanting to heal us from all those. Go to counseling. Walk through these things, have your quiet times, talk with those that know you best. Talk it through so that the Lord can heal you and free you from these things that bind us up. Well, Lord, we're just so grateful for this opportunity to sit at your feet. Oh, thank you for being our new life and how you heal us creatively and free us from bondage in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our new life.